Louise McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.
You may have seen them on Netflix, you may have seen them on TikTok, but tiny houses have been heralded as a radical and creative way to address a lack of affordable housing, as well as reducing living costs and shrinking our carbon footprint. They are remarkably ingenious in design, no denying that, and many are just downright adorable, but are they really practical for the long term? That is the real question. Alice Elizabeth Wilson is researching the rise of tiny houses for her PhD and is in the process of building one for herself, and she joins us on the line now.
Hi there, Louise. Thanks so much for having me.
I am so excited to talk to you because I have so many questions about tiny houses.
Great.
Because, I mean, first of all, maybe you could just explain what is a tiny house for people who haven't seen them.
So tiny houses, the definition isn't unanimously agreed upon. And it's actually an important bit of work to sort of get that finalised, because if we want to agitate for better planning permission and access to land and so on, there needs to be some universally agreed upon definition of what they actually mean, because they can be caravans, they can be trailer based, they can be cabins or recycled shipping containers. They, part of their strength is in the breadth of what they can be comprised of. But a going definition tends to be about 30 meters square. And so the one that I'm building myself is 30 meters square. So 5 paces in one direction, 5 paces in the other, more or less.
That is tiny.
But in my work, it's pretty small. But when you think about living in, say, capital cities like Dublin, there'll be lots of people living in spaces that size or smaller, in sort of high-rise, high-density, like flats and blocks and so on.
Yeah. So how did you come to become interested in them?
Sure. So I grew up working class, and money was a pretty constant source of stress and fear. And aside from winning the lottery or selling a vital organ, dramatically reducing the overheads, our expenses, seemed to be the best way to escape that. And of course, housing is pretty much universally everyone's biggest cost, unless you have like a niche diet comprised exclusively of, I don't know, caviar and quail's eggs and stuff. So this looked like the best way to go. And of course, for the lowest earners, like, it can be the case that even 70% of their income is spent on housing. I know that in Dublin, there are areas where house prices are 14 times the average wage.
Yep.
York, where I live and work, is fairly affordable in the context of the country. But even so, a house will cost between 10 and 20 times the average wage. Mm. And in London, there are places that are 41 times higher than the average wage. It's just beyond ridiculous. And I thought there has to be an alternative to this. And there are. There are lots of alternatives, and tiny houses are just one of them.
Right. And so, but it's not just about a small house, is it? I mean, it is a movement really toward a different way of living.
That's right. Yeah. One thing that comes up again and again when I'm speaking to participants in my work is the notion of freedom. Mm-hmm. So imagine for yourself, if you could take away your rental or mortgage expenses and replace that with something maybe 20 or 30% of that amount, what different choices would become available to you in that context. So freedom to work a job that you find really meaningful and fulfilling, but that doesn't have a great salary. Mm. Or freedom to work part-time. Somebody that is involved in our work, he works part-time as a teacher and lives in a tiny house because he wants to make sure that he can spend as much of his time as possible with his young daughter. Mm. Or freedom to be physically mobile. More and more it comes out that freedom to prioritize community, family, hobbies, volunteering, setting up your own business, further education, and a psychological experience of freedom that's based on knowing you're not tied down to a huge mortgage for the next 20 years or living at the mercy of private landlords.
Hmm. And how much money are we talking if you want to build yourself a tiny house?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you might expect, how long is a piece of string is kind of the answer to that. But to give you an indication, the most inexpensive tiny house that I've come across in my own work was built completely for £900. So it took a little while because, of course, when you're sourcing recycled or discarded materials that you want to use for free, that takes a little bit of time. But it can be done that cheaply. That house is only 10 meters square, so it really is on the much smaller scale of things.
Right.
And there's another one built a similar cost about €5,000, and then they go right up to say €60,000-70,000 for like bespoke high-end professionally designed, all that kind of thing. But if you think about £70,000 being the most expensive tiny house that I've come across, that still pales in comparison to the cost of conventional housing.
I mean, I don't think you'd get yourself a bathroom in Dublin for 70 grand. Like,
that's right.
That's pretty impressive, considering you'd be at the very high end. But I suppose, I mean, there's no getting away from the fact that if you live in a tiny space, you have to really downsize your stuff as well, don't you?
Completely. Yeah, absolutely. And that can be quite a fraught part of the process. So I've had people from, you know, each side where, so for example, some people will go into the tiny house movement deliberately out of a very conscious decision to want to design a life that is no longer based solely on market relations and compulsory consumption. They don't want to be part of it anymore. And this is a way that they can see to deliberately step aside from that. Oh. I've had people who are just scrambling to exist in conditions of constrained economic hardship, and tiny houses are a way that they can survive. And then they found out that actually, because they don't have the space to consume so much stuff anymore, they realize that they don't get that much out of it, you know, that there are much more important and fulfilling values to place in the center of your life than how much money you earn, how much space you have, and how much stuff you possess.
How do you feel about your stuff if you're moving into a tiny house? You know, presumably, like everyone else, you've accumulated stuff along the way. Do you feel okay about downsizing?
I feel great about downsizing. My partner, less so.
Right.
So having spent a lot of my my youth and adulthood moving around the world, for example, I moved to teach in Barcelona when I was 19 and I just had a backpack with me. That's all. I didn't have a suitcase. And that was a very normal way for me to move around. I lived in the Czech Republic. I lived in Greece, all with a backpack. Mm. And that's become my modus operandi, if you like. So I was sort of primed for this lifestyle. My partner, not so much. Lots and lots of hobbies that require lots of workshops and a forge and lots of carpentry tools and lots of different types of bicycles and so on. So the compromise really comes from negotiating that.
Yeah, I can imagine that within the family structure or within relationships, it might be a bit tricky, because I can completely understand how you could fall in love with this idea. Like, I, for one, have been talking about how much I'd love for all of my stuff to disappear completely and to start from scratch for like the last 5 years. I think, well, actually, it's since I had kids, because when you have kids, the stuff just explodes. And sometimes I feel like I'm literally drowning in it. But I can completely see the attraction of that. Well, of lots of elements of it, but I would imagine, yeah, that maybe my husband wouldn't be so enthusiastic. I suppose it's a negotiation, as you say, that probably is ongoing, is it?
It completely is ongoing. I think that's a really perceptive comment, because a lot of the questions that come up are, oh, well, this is just for single people, obviously, because of the space constraints. But that's not the case. Mm-hmm. There are lots of participants in my work who have families, who have 2 and 3 children, cats and dogs. And it's all part of a cost-benefit analysis that you are continually negotiating in your family unit. Mm. So you could have more space if you decided it was worth the extra cost on your finances, your time, your ability to spend time with your children. But lots of people with families want to live in a tiny house because the compromise that involves is less costly than the compromises involved in living in a bigger space, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And it's interesting because, I mean, I suppose it's just challenging everything that we are socialized to believe life looks like. And I suppose we don't really necessarily take a lot of time to stop and consider our lives and the way that they work and, you know, the maths of our lives and, you know, the way that our kind of life is divided up unless we're challenged to. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are people now listening going, well, actually, you know, maybe the way I'm doing it isn't right. Did you have kind of an aha moment with it, or did it happen gradually for you?
Little bits of both, I would say. So gradually, I'm, you know, constitutionally allergic to authority that I perceive to be illegitimate, and the housing system is a big baddie where that's concerned. Mm. So I've always been interested in it from that perspective. What has become an aha moment is myself and my business partner set up a company called Op House in January. Mm. Because whilst academics is a great place to find out about what the problems are, it's not always the best place to, you know, agitate for change, whereas grassroots and community organized businesses can be. So what we're working on is, off the back of listening to what people need through the research, we're trying to get York's first tiny house development built by September 2021. Mm. We're working with the council and with Homes England, and that really was an aha moment. It was, we can do something now. Yeah. We know about the things, and now we can take some action. Mm. So that was the aha.
And do you think, because we've talked about economics a lot, and obviously that's a huge part of this, but do you think if people were handed, if people who live in tiny houses were handed a winning lottery ticket, that they would decide to expand their lives, or do you think they'd keep things tiny?
It's a great question, and it's a really important one to ask, isn't it? Because it really gets to the heart of why are people doing this? And as you might expect, some people would and some people wouldn't. So some people really realise it's not for them. For example, tiny spaces need to be kept very tidy in order not to look cluttered and feel stressful to be in. Or they get sick of dealing with the composting toilet, or the physical mobility of a tiny house on wheels starts to make them feel unsettled. So lots of reasons. However, most of the people I speak to in my work fall in love with tiny houses, even when they entered into the lifestyle thinking it would just be a temporary solution, because the freedom to prioritize relationships, learning, travel, time outdoors over earning money, I think would be pretty high up on most people's list of priorities. Mm. And once you've experienced that, you're unlikely to want to give it up.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. I suppose you have to get really clever about storage and stuff. And then once you learn the way to live that way, I suppose you wouldn't need a million shelves or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I think it's absolutely fascinating. Best of luck with your continued work. I will be following with great interest because I want to see what York's first development of tiny houses looks like.
Yeah, fantastic. We'll definitely keep you updated, and maybe you can come for our first tiny housewarming party.
Oh, man, I would love that. Alice Elizabeth Wilson, thank you so much. She is PhD researcher into the tiny house movement, and obviously much more besides that, as we've heard. I hope you have a great one, Alice.
Thanks, Louise.
Louise McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.